Okay, good evening, everybody. Today's daf is Bab Basra Daf Chaf. We are holding on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. We will begin with Meisive toward the bottom of Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. So Yeshua is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha, La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should return home safely. And it's also sponsored Lizecha Nishmas, Elimo Zimbalist, whose Shloshim is today. His neshama should have an aliyah. He was a hero, a Gibor Yisrael, and we hope that through the zchus of our learning, is an aliyah's neshama. And we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is we're going to continue challenging the shita of Shmuel about anything who holds that anything that you're ultimately going to move is not going to be mimayit the chalon from a sheer tefach. It's not going to take away the sheer tefach from a chalon in terms of being able to allow tuma to go through from one room to another. So we're going to bring a whole bunch of rayas and a whole bunch of different materials of whether these items are really things that you're going to move or things that you're not going to move, and that's going to carry us all the way through Amud Aleph, all the way to Amud Beis. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about harchakos nezikin, that what a person has to do within his own property in order to make sure that he not damage his friend. And the Gemara is going to discuss, and what if you did all the necessary precautions, you were marchik properly, and nevertheless you did damage anyway, so do you have to pay for that damage if you took all the necessary precautions and damage had happened anyway? Then that's the Mishnah Amud, the first Mishnah Amud Beis, and that will bring us all the way to the second Mishnah Amud Beis, and we'll probably stop over there. So let's begin at Meisive toward the bottom of the page on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. So again, we're asking on the din of Shmuel that anything that ultimately you're going to take is not going to be Mema'it Techalon from the Shir Tefach. So Meisive, so we have a Mishnah Meseches Ahalos, Kupa Malaya Tevin V'chavis Malaya Gorgros Hamanachem B'chalon. If you have a basket full of straw or a barrel that is full of dried figs that are placed in a window in between two houses, and that window has a tefach, and there's a mace in one of those houses, so we have to figure out if it's mimayit the chalon from the sheer tefach in order to block the tumah from one house to the other. So Rowan, we have to look. Kol she'ilu yinatu v'cholin tevin v'grogros lamed b'fnei atzman. If you would take away that kupa or that chavis, that basket, that box that is holding the straw, that is holding the dried figs, if you would take it away and the tevin and the grogros would be able to stand on their own, then chotzin, then it's going to create a chatzitza b'fnei atumah. But if you're not able to, if they wouldn't be able to stand on their own without the basket, without the box, then in chotzitzin, then it's not going to block the tumah. So now the Gemara is going to explain how that Mishnah is a kasha on Shmuel. So v'hateven, says the Gemara, but wait a second, this teven is chazi lebehemto. You're going to use it for Michael Behema. So you're going to remove it from the window. You're going to give it to your Behema. You're not mevatel it to leave in the chalon forever. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says that if the tevin is able to stand on its own without the kupa, it's memayit the chalon from Mishir Tefach, and it's chotit b'vnei atumah. So apparently, even something that you're going to remove is still memayit b'chalon. It's still considered to block the tumah from traveling from one side to the other. So says the Gemara, the last word on the line, five lines from the bottom of the page on Yud Tes Amud Beis, says the Gemara, bisaria. We're talking about where the tevin has spoiled, and therefore it's not ra'ui even to use for Michael Behema, so you're not going to take it. Says Gemara, but you still might take it. Tevin has other uses. Chazi Latina, you could use it for making cement, so you might take it from the window in order to make cement. Di'is pekutzi. No, we're talking about that it has thorns in it, and therefore it's lousy for cement. So since the way they would make the cement was that they would step on it or something, and therefore it would hurt their feet too much, so they would never use it for cement. So says the Gemara, b'chazi lahasaka, you could still use that tevin as fuel for a fire, and therefore you might still come to use it. So says b'matuna, the tevin is very moist, and therefore it's not even ra'oi to use for fire. Well, chazila has a gadol. You'd still be able to use it for a very large fire. I mean, even if it's moist, if you have a very large fire, the fire will dry up all the water and will then use and will then burn up all the tevin. So it will be viable fuel to use for a very large fire. Says Gemara, well, has a gadol shchiach. How often do you have a very large fire? And therefore, you have to assume that if a person put it in the window, he's not going to come across the need for a very large fire that requires fuel where he's going to use this tevin. So we assume he plans on leaving that tevin in the window forever, and that's why it's chotzeitz b'fnei ha'tumah. But if he didn't plan on leaving it there forever, it would not be chotzeitz b'fnei ha'tumah. So now the Gemara says, okay, but we didn't only talk about tevin being chotzeitz b'fnei ha'tumah, we also spoke about grogros. So grogros ha'chazulei, the dried figs, how can it be ma'it the chalom from a sheer tefach by putting those grogros? It's roi from my chaladam. You can use it as food. So of course you're going to take it. You're not going to leave it in the window. And nevertheless, we're saying it's memait b'chalon, even though you're going to take it. So amar Shmuel b'shit rifu. Now the case is that these grogros have already become wormy, and they're not roi anymore to be used for my chaladam. Chayin tani Rabba Baravua b'shit rifu. And Rabba Baravua also taught that the grogros are memait in the shir chalon only when they have become wormy. So says Gemara, hay chavis hechidamya. What type of chavis are we talking about that's full of grogros that's in the window? If the mouth of the chavis is facing toward the outside, toward the house that does not have the dead body in it, so he gufa techutz. So why doesn't the barrel itself serve as the chatzitza? Because after all, the barrel itself is not mekabel tuma because the klicheres is not metami from the outside. So the outside, the bottom of the klicheres is facing in toward where the mace is not having any effect on the kli, and therefore the kli itself should be mimayit b'chalon. It itself should block the tuma from going from one end to the other. So says Mara Ella de Puma Lagav. No, it must be that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the opening of the barrel is facing on the inside. The opening of the barrel is facing toward the mace, and therefore the barrel has become tame. And since the barrel itself is mekabel tuma, it doesn't have the capacity to be chotzeit b'fnei atuma. V'iba yisem eliyolim de Puma Lavar. Or another way to look at it is that maybe the Mishnah is talking about where the opening of the barrel is facing outside, not toward the tumah, and nevertheless the barrel still became tameh, because who said the barrel was made out of cheres? Hacham mayaskinan b'chavish al mateches. Maybe we're talking about a metal barrel, and metal kelim become tameh from both sides. Now it doesn't have to be mateches; it could also be eitz. The chiddush is that even a chavish al mateches, which is normally even more chamer than eitz, because mateches that becomes tameh with the mace has the din of the mace itself. It's cheref hareu kechalal. We assume that normally when mace is metame something, it goes down a level that the item that it's metame only is an avatum and not an aviavosatuma. But when it's metame metal, the metal becomes an aviavosatuma. We still don't say that the barrel is going to in turn be metame the grogros that are inside of it to prevent them from being chotzeitz. Because since the grogros are all wormy and they're not ra'ui for eating, they're not mekabel tuma, because they're not considered a meichel. Only a meichel is going to be mekabel tuma. So that's why we dafka say b'chavish al mateches, that it's a metal barrel. It could have been a wooden barrel also, in order to make it that the barrel doesn't have the ability to be chotzeitz, that the barrel becomes tameh. But we're dafka talking about a metal barrel to let it be known that even though the barrel itself has become an avi avos hatuma, the grogros inside are not tameh and still have the ability to block the tuma from passing from one to the other. So now the Gemara asks on Shmuel from somewhere else. Meisve, we have a Tosefta in Maseches Avos that goes through a number of things that are Mema'it Chalon from Mishir Tefach, and therefore will be able to be Chotzit B'fnei HaTumah, will be able to block the Tumah from going from one room to the other, because these items themselves are not the Kabbal Tumah, and they serve as a valid blockage for the Tumah. As Savin Shetloshen B'nichon B'Chalon. If you have grass that you've uprooted from where they grow and you left them in the window, or they're overgrowing into the window, or if you have little patches of clothing that are less than 3 etzba'us by 3 etzba'us that you leave in the chalon, or you have limbs or flesh that are hanging off of an animal or a wild beast, meaning a behemoth and a chaya that have a limb that's cut off but it's still still somehow attached just partially to the body, and they're right near the chalon, and the limb is sitting in the window. Va'ov sheshachem b'chalon, or you have a bird, a live bird, that's just resting in the window. Va'ov ikuchavim sheyashem b'chalon, or you have a non-Jew that's sitting in the window. Uben shmona amunuch b'chalon, you have a baby that's born after 8 months of pregnancy, that's born in the 8th month of pregnancy, where the Gemara always works with the assumption that a baby that's born in the 8th month of pregnancy has no chance of living, so it's not mekabel tuma because it doesn't have a din of a living being, nor is it like a mace because it's not actually dead, it's still alive. So it's in the window. V'amelech, we have salt, uklei charis, we have pottery, the sefer Torah, we have the sefer Torah. We're going to go through each one of these items slowly in the Gemara. Kula mematim chalon. All of these things are memayit the shir tefach of a chalon, and they'll block the tuma from going from one end to the other. Aval hashalik va'bar va'galin va'kfar va'amayim kulan ein mematim chalon. The only things that will not block the tuma from going from one room to the other, if you have different types of ice or water that's in the window, that even though they're not mekabel tuma, nevertheless they're not going to stay there for very long. Ice obviously will melt, and water is not memayit because it's not able to stand on its own without a kli. Water needs to always be held in a kli, otherwise it will obviously just spill away. So those things will not be memayit b'chalon. But we have this long list in this Tosefta of items that are memayit b'chalon. Now, according to Shmuel, the only time something's going to be memayit b'chalon, something's going to block, is if you plan on leaving it there forever, you never plan on taking it. So the Gemara is going to go through this list. Is every item on this list something that you plan on leaving there forever, that you never plan on taking? So frakta Gemara v'ha asavin chazul behemto. The grass that we said, that's roughly you could use it to feed your animals. So aren't you going to take it out of the window? And nevertheless, the Tosefta says that it's been ma'id b'chalon. Don't you see a raya from here against Shmuel that even something that you're going to take out of the window is still going to be memayit? So says Gemara, no, ba'afrazta. The Tosefta is talking about a type of asavim, which is a poisonous type of asavim. So you would never give that to your animals to eat, and therefore you're never going to use it. And we then said in the Tosefta, another example is asavim that grew on their own in the window. So given the kasha l'kosel shakaluhu. But wait a second, aren't you for sure going to remove that? Because after all, the type of growth that grows on a wall on its own, ivy and things like that, that's bad for the wall. So you're not going to want to leave that on your wall. So even though it's growing into your window, it should not block because you're going to take it away. So amarabba b'kosel churva. We're talking about the wall of a churva, where you're not makbid if the wall's going to fall, you don't care. And therefore, it might in fact stay there forever, even if it is bad for the wall. So Rapapa Rafilu Bekosel Yishuv. Rapapa says, no, we can even say it's talking about a regular wall that you are interested in, but Bebon Chutz L'Shoshel L'Chalon. These asavim are growing not literally in the window, they're growing at a distance of 3 tefachim from the window, and it's just the tips of these asavim that are entering into the window. So it's not going to be a threat to these the sturdiness of the wall, so you leave it there forever. You're going to have no reason to ever remove it. Then with the Tosefta went on to say that matalonios, little patches of clothing that are less than 3 by 3 etzba'os, are mima'it b'chalom, because you're never ever going to take them. Says Gemara, what do you mean? Chazulei l'kriya d'levusha. Won't you be able to use it as a patch for your clothing? And because of that, you will take it because you'll want to patch up your clothing if it has a little hole in it. So it says, "Mano bismichasa." The Tosefta is talking about a thick beged, a very thick beged that's not roi to use for patching up your clothing, and therefore you'll just leave it in the window. Well, even if you can't use it for patching your clothing, chazi leumna, aren't you going to use it to wipe away blood when you do bloodletting? You'll use it as a little gauze or something after doing bloodletting. So won't you still want to use this little patch of clothing? So it's more. Iberiska. No, it's made out of sackcloth, which is not very good for cleaning off a wound. Well, Iberiska, if it's made out of sackcloth, well, the Shein Ben Shalosh Al Shalosh, why would the Tosefta say that it's less than 3 by 3 etzba'os, which is the shear of how small it would have to be to not be Mekabel Tuma? The halacha happens to be that sackcloth in a much larger shear is still not Mekabel Tuma. Shein Ben Arba'a Al Arba'a Mipayle. Instead of 3 by 3 etzba'os, it only needs to be less than 4x4 tefachim. That's way bigger than 3x3 etzbaos. And as far as the thickness of your thumb, a tefach is 4 etzbaos. So you would need less, anything less than 4 tefachim would already not be makabel tuma and would be able to be memayit b'chalon. So why would the Tosefta say that a piece of cloth less than 3x3 etzbaos? So it says Mar Ke'en Riska. No, we're not talking about actual sackcloth. We're talking about a type of material that is as thick as sackcloth. And therefore, it has a din of a beged to be makabel tuma with 3 etzbaos, but it's not ra'ui for an uman to use it because it's going to, for a bloodletter to use it because it's going to scratch the skin. And then we had said in the Tosefta going weiter on that long list in the Tosefta of things that are mima'it b'chalon, va'ever va'basar medudolim b'beim u'b'chaya, if we had pieces of an animal, whether it be a limb or the flesh of an animal, that's just barely hanging on to a behema and a chaya's body, so that's mima'it. That's not going to stay there. Ark of the Uzla. The animal's just going to run away. And when it runs away, that limb's going to come along with it. So how could you say that that's Mimayit Bechalon, according to Shmuel, that you need to leave it there forever? So as the Gemara Bikshura, the Tosefta is talking about a case where the animal is tied up in its place next to the window, and it's not able to leave there. So therefore, even the limb that's going to remain in the Chalon, that limb is going to remain in that Chalon forever. Says Mar, forever it's going to remain in the chalon. Shachetla, you're going to shecht the animal eventually, and when you shecht the animal, that limb and that piece of flesh is going to be removed from the chalon. Says Mar, bitmeya, it's a behemah tmeya. So we're making a lot of akimtas about this animal, right? It's a non-kosher animal, so you're not going to shecht it, and it's tied to the window, so it's not going to leave. Says Mar, you'll still remove it from the chalon because mizabin lo lenachri. You won't eat it because it's a non-kosher animal, but you might sell it to a Nachri, says Gemara, Bikhusha. The animal is very weak, and the Nachri is not going to be interested, meaning it's a very shvacha animal, so it doesn't have good meat. So the Nachri is not going to be interested in purchasing such an animal. So says Gemara, but still there's a use for the animal. Pasuk Shadila L'Kladim, that you'll take that Eivera Meduldol off, and you'll throw it to the dogs, meaning you'll take that limb and you'll throw it to the dog. You're not going to leave it in the window. You'll feed it to the dogs. And it's more, keeping tikka tzar b'lechayim lo ofer. Why would you do such a thing? You're going to cut a limb off of a living animal? That's tzar b'lechayim. So you're never going to do that. You're going to leave it in the window rather than cut it off and feed it to the animals. Asks Tosfos, you would still take the entire animal and give it to the dogs, meaning maybe in a chinami it would be tzar b'lechayim to cut off that limb and throw it to the dogs. So you would never do that, but that doesn't mean the limb is going to stay there. You have no use for the entire animal. You cannot shecht it because it's not a kosher animal. You cannot sell it to a guy because it's too weak. So, but you're still going to take the animal and just throw it to the dogs. So the Tosa suggests that the Tosefta is talking about a monkey or such a type of animal where you enjoy playing with it and you don't want to throw it to the dogs. And that explains why the Tosefta doesn't say that the behemah or the chaya itself is sitting in the window, because we're talking about a type of behemah or chaya that you would use as a pet, you would use to play with, you would use to mess around with, and therefore, if the behemah itself was sitting in the window, kol zman that you could still use it for such a purpose, the bialim would ultimately take it from the window in order to play with it, and therefore, if it's no longer ra'ui to be used for that, you would throw it to the dogs, but in such a case, it's still ra'ui to be used for that, so you're not going to throw it to the dogs. It's only that limb that's meduldal that you have no use for, that you would throw to the dogs. That's how Tosas understands that it's even another ukimta, that it's talking about a very specific type of animal, that it's the kind of animal that you would use for entertainment purposes. That's not the standard of what they would use animals for in the times of Chazal, right? I mean, they didn't have so many pets, but that's what he's describing, that it's a pet that you would want to entertain yourself with. So that's how Tosas understands. So now we go weiter on the list of items that the Tosefta had mentioned. Va'ov sheshachin b'chalon, if it's a bird that's resting in the window, so that blocks the tumma from going from one side of the window to the other. Frakta Gemara, what do you mean? Parach v'yazel, the bird's going to fly away in a minute, so it's not going to be there forever. Says Gemara b'kasher, we're talking about a bird that's tied down to the window. So Frakta Gemara, but shachetlei, you're going to shecht that bird eventually. No, b'tame, we're talking about a non-kosher bird. You're not going to shecht it. Well, mazmelei l'nachri, you'll sell it to a guy. B'kalnisa, it's a certain type of very weak bird called the kalnisa bird, and no human would ever want to eat such a bird, so you're not going to sell it to a nachri. You have lili yinuka, but you'll still give it to a child in order for a child to play with it. So mesamet. No, we're talking about where it scratches, so it's dangerous for a child. You would never give it to a child. Says Gemara, but wait, you just said it's a kalnisa bird. It happens to be kalnisa lo mesarta. A kalnisa bird doesn't scratch, so you don't have that worry of what it's going to do to the child. So says Gemara, ke'en kalnisa. We don't mean that it's an actual kalnisa bird. We mean that it's a bird that's similar to a kalnisa in that it's very weak, but also that it scratches, and that's why you're going to leave it there for forever. So that takes care of the bird. Now we go weiter on the list. The Tosefta said that if you have a goy sitting in the window, so he's mimayit bechalom. So frankly, Mark, well, ka'iva azil, he's going to get up and walk away. Why would he stay in the window? Bekafus. No, we're talking about where he's tied down, so he cannot leave. Well, asi chavrei sharilei, his friends will come and they'll release him and they'll get him out of the window. So bimetzara, we're talking about where he's a leper, so no one wants to go anywhere near him, and therefore you don't have to worry that anyone's going to go and take him out of the window. Well, asi mitzara chavrei sharilei, another mitzara will come along and will release him. Now, we must be talking about a guy who's tied to the window because of the malchus. They locked him up there, and therefore no one's going to want to start up with the malchus, so no one is going to release him. You wouldn't get yourself into trouble with the malchus by releasing him, and therefore he's probably going to stay there forever. Next item on the list, uven shmona. We said that a baby born in the 8th month of pregnancy, hamunach bechalon, so that's in the window, it's memayit bechalon. So I asked the Gemara, but why? Asi imei darilei. After all, the mother might come and just take the baby. And the Gemara b'Shabbos, no, the baby's mukta. The halacha is that a baby that was born in the 8th month is considered mukta because he has no chance of survival, and therefore the mother cannot take him on Shabbos, and therefore it's not memayit bechalon. Tosfos raises the question. Yeah, he's mutzah, so the mother can't take him on Shabbos, but she could take him after Shabbos, and in order not to be mayit b'chalon, it has to be something that's going to be there forever. This baby's not going to be there forever, he's only going to be there till the end of Shabbos. So the Tosa says that the Tosefta is talking about a ben shmona who's a goses, and he's going to die before the end of Shabbos. So since you can't take him there, take him away from there on Shabbos, and by the end of Shabbos it's going to be dead, we assume you'll just bury him in that wall where he is. So Porus Yosef raises the question, yeah, that's what we're talking about, a goses. Then why do we have to say that it's talking about in Shabbos? You're not allowed to be metaltel a goses anyway, Paras Yosef asks. A goses you're not allowed to touch because you're going to kill the goses, right? The Gemara compares a goses to like a flickering candle, because Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, and you touch a flickering candle and the flame extinguishes. You touch a goses and we're concerned that it's going to die. So that's a Paras Yosef's kasha on Tosos. But be that as it may, Tosus understands that we're talking about a goses, and the Gemara says, because it's Shabbos, no one's going to take it. So Detanya, because after all, we have a Braisa that tells us, Ben Shmona, Rehu Ke'even, that a baby born in the 8th month of pregnancy is mukta like a rock. Va'asul Tatul B'Shabbos, it's also B'Tiltul on Shabbos. So how can the mother relieve the stress of her of the milk that's causing her pain in order to get rid of some of the milk? Normally she would nurse her baby, but if the baby's a goses and she can't pick up the baby, what does she do? The mother just leans over the baby and nurses him that way in order that she doesn't come to sakana by having too much milk. That's how Rashi understands. Sakana is not about the baby. The baby's not going to survive anyway. Sakana is about the mother. That will be too much of a sakana if there's a buildup of the milk. So it says Gemara, because normally a woman is not allowed to just pump milk or come up with some way to extract the milk on Shabbos. A baby's allowed to suck, and that will remove the milk because it's a malacha d'oraisa to pump milk from any mammal on Shabbos, but from you, including a human being. So what we do if a woman is engorged and has milk is that she pumps the milk out in a way where it's holich li'ibud immediately, and then it's not a violation of the malacha of dash when it's holich li'ibud. A lot of times women ask a question about pumping milk. Can they pump milk and just save it, because they'd rather be able to, the baby doesn't want it right now, they want to pump the milk on Shabbos and just save it and hang on to it. So if the baby doesn't need it and the baby's perfectly, you have enough milk supply, or the baby's perfectly happy with formula, so you really have to hold that it's sakana in order to do it, because it's really a malacha d'oraisa. So probably the best way to formulate it is, of course you're allowed to do anything for your baby if it's sakana. So if the only way to pump that milk would be to get in the car and drive, in order for your baby to have this milk. Would you do that? Meaning it's a malacha d'oraisa. So you're allowed to get in a car and drive your baby to a hospital if it's really sakana. But do you really believe it's sakana? Would you drive on Shabbos for this? Meaning that we have to think of it as an actual malacha if you're going to save the milk. But anyway, that's not the case over here. The case over here is that this baby born in the eighth month is sucking the milk. So says Gemara, let's go weiter on the list. Melech, we said that salt is memayit b'chalon. Well, chazile, the salt can be used, so you're going to take the salt out of the window. B'merirta, now we're talking about salt that's very bitter, that's not ro'i to be used. So frakta Gemara, well, chazile oros, you could still use it for tanning hinds. So di'is b'kutzi, no, it has thorns, so it's terrible to use for treating leather. So kiven the kashu l'kosel shakla, well, if it has those, if it's that type of salt, salt is going to be very bad for the wall, so you're going to take it away from the wall. You're not going to want it to ruin your wall. It's going to have a corrosive effect on the wall. So it says, no, diasva chaspa, the salt is sitting on a piece of cheres and not directly on the wall, and therefore the wall is protected. So you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to the to the wall. So it says, if it's sitting on a piece of cheres, then shouldn't the cheres itself be a chatzitza? So it says Gemara, delespe shiura, that it's talking about that it doesn't have a shear of a piece of cheres that's significant enough to cover the width of the window. Kiddetanan, because we learned about the halachas of Otzah and Shabbos, that a cheres, the size of a piece of cheres that you'd be chayiv on for carrying on Shabbos is kedeliten bin patzim l'chavero, is the type of cheres that you would put in between pieces of beams of wood in order that they to leave a little bit of space between them so that air can get in between them, and the cheres that's wide enough to do that has a chashivus that you'd be chayiv for Otzah and Shabbos, and only a piece of cheres of that size will be memayit the chalon from the tumma passing through from one side to the other. So then the Gemara says, okay, but vayter, we said clay cheres. We said clay cheres, if you have pottery kalim, that's also memayit the chalon. But why? Chazilei, aren't you going to be able to use those clay cheres? Why would it be memayit the chalon? Says Gemara, demitanef. Now we're talking about clay cheres that was all dirty and therefore you have no use for it. Well, chazilu umna, even if it's dirty, a bloodletter might use it to catch some of the blood that he's bloodletting, because he doesn't need those kalim to be clean. He doesn't need to use the blood. It's not like when we take blood where we're going to use it to give it to somebody else. Over here, it's only about using it as a refua to help the person. So that's not, they don't need clean kalim. It's not like when you donate blood where they need, perfectly clean kalim. Demenakev. No, we're talking about a kli that has a hole in it, so it's not going to be very good for blood. So it says, but Sefer Torah, we then say, said the next item on the list was the Sefer Torah, that you're going to leave that in the window forever. Well, why would you leave the Sefer Torah in the window forever? Chazi the Mikra, why would it be chotzeitz in a window? You're not going to leave it there forever. You're going to use it for Kriyas HaTorah. So of course you're going to take it from there. Bibali, we're talking about a Sefer Torah that is all worn out and it's no longer ra'ui for Kriyas HaTorah. Vabai Geniza, yeah, but then you need to put it in Geniza. You're not allowed to just leave it in the window. Shem Tehi Genizasa. Now the Geniza will be in the window. You're planning on having the Geniza be in the window forever. The Ritva writes, it doesn't mean you're going to leave it in the window forever. It means you leave it there until you can have time to put it in proper Geniza. And the way you do proper Geniza is by putting it next to the Kivros of Talmidei Chachamim. That's a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chavav. And nevertheless, it's still Mimayit Chalon from the Shir Tefach, even though it's not going to be there forever, because on account of the Yisru B'Zayin Sefer Torah, you make that its Makom Geniza for the time being. Meaning, when you have a pasul of the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to just leave it around. You have to put it in Geniza. So there may be a temporary Geniza, and that wall can count as a temporary Geniza. The Gemara tells us that a Sefer Torah that's missing a few letters, a Sefer Torah that's pasul, it's al tishkan ba'alecha avla. It's considered an avla. You're not allowed to leave it around. Right? It's a big kasha why it is. In our shuls, when you have a pasul of the Sefer Torah, they just wrap the gartel around the outside of the mantle, and they leave it like that for years sometimes. really you're supposed to either put the Sefer Torah in Geniza or get it fixed as soon as you possibly can. Problem is, it's very expensive to fix, and the shuls don't always have money to do it, and sometimes the shul and whoever really owns the Sefer Torah are fighting over who's responsible to pay for that, you know, for that cost. But it's not the kind of Sefer Torah that you want to necessarily put into Geniza right away. But it's a kasha why it is. It's a why it is that it's allowed to stay that way, because normally you're not allowed. So what we do is we say, no, the reason it's an avla is because if you open it up and you learn from it and it's missing a few letters or a few words, you're going to get the wrong halacha out of it. So we leave a hecker around it by putting the gartel on the outside, and we hope that that's good enough. But anyway, the Gemara's assumption is that this is a temporary geniza. So now, that finishes up the Tosefta that we started with, where we gave a whole list of items that are memayit b'chalon, and we said, hey, wait a second, according to Shmuel, things are only memayit b'chalon if you plan on leaving them there forever, and none of these items seem to be things that you plan on leaving there forever. So we went through how each of them is something that you plan on leaving there forever. Amar Rav, b'kolos mechitza chutz melech urevav, that you can make a mechitza to block tuma, or for Hilchos Shabbos for that matter, a mechitza for Shabbos, with anything except for salt and grease, because those things are not kavua to stay in their place. Ushmol amar afilu b'melech, you can even use salt. Amar papa v'lo pliki, they're not arguing. It sounds like they're arguing whether salt can be used as a mechitza. They're not. Habemelch stomus, habemelch is strokeness. It depends if it's melech sedomus, which is very thick salt and is hard like a rock, and therefore that's perfectly good wall material, versus regular salt, which is not hard like a rock and is not good material for a wall. Now that Rava told us the din that you can make two piles of salt, you can put a beam over those two piles of salt, where the salt is supporting the beam, and the weight of the beam is keeping the salt in place so that it doesn't scatter all over the place. So now we could explain is strokeness, that we could even be talking about when we talk about a melech that's made with that makes up a mechitza. It doesn't have to be melech salt; it could be regular salt. And it's still not a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, because ha di ikakara, Shmuel, who says that it could be a mechitza, is somewhere where the weight of a beam is pressing it in place, and therefore it's not going anywhere. So therefore, it's a valid mechitza. It's a valid mechitza. And the Rav who passels is somewhere where there is no beam on top of the melech, and therefore the mechitza is not going to last very long, because the salt is just going to scatter. We then said in the Mishnah that you have to keep a mill three tefachim away from the shechev, which is the bottom stone of the mill, which happens to be four tefachim away from the rechev, which is the top stone. Well, my time, why do you have to keep a mill away from your friend's wall? What's a mill going to do to his wall? Mishum tiria, we said the shaking of the ground is going to be damaging to the wall. But didn't we say that if it's a type of mill that runs on the power of a donkey, that you have to be marchikit shlosha min hishtrubil, three tefachim from the base of that mill, shein arba'a min ha'keles, which is four tefachim from the keles, but if it's only about the shaking of the ground, hasad maitiria ika, when it's a donkey that runs the mill, there's not going to be a shaking of the ground, because it's a very small mill and doesn't cause too much shaking. So nevertheless, we still have to be marchikit. So why do we have to be marchikit such a mill? Says we're elamishum kala. It must be because of the noise that it makes is injurious to the wall. It's going to be damaging to the wall. Then we said v'satanur, they have to keep an oven away from your friend's wall, shlosha min akilya, three tefachim away from the base that the tanur is on, shein arba min asafa, which is four tefachim away from the edge of the actual tanur. Samar abayish ma min akilya de tanur tefach. Ooh, what we see from that line of the Mishnah is that the assumption is that the base of the tanur is one tefach wider than the rest of the tanur. Now, why do I care how much wider the base of a tanner? I don't need to describe and to build Talmudic ovens. Well, nafkamina l'makach memker. Nafkamina is if a person sells an oven to his friend, you need to know what the expectation is. And if the base is not one tefach wider than the oven itself, then he's being cheated. He's not being given the oven that he had ordered. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. So this Mishnah discusses other harchakos nezikin, things you have to do within your own property to prevent you from damaging somebody else, as well as what happens if you did those harchakos and then it's still damaged. Lo yamid adam tanur b'toch habayis elim kein yesh al gabav kova arba amos. If you're going to be in a lower floor apartment, apartment and there's someone who lives above you, your tanur, your oven, has to have at least 4 amos of airspace over the top of it. Heat rises and it could go, the fire could go right through the ceiling and it could damage the apartment above you. So you have to leave 4 amos of space. And if you live on the top floor, you need a base under your oven of 3 tefachim. Now, why the difference? 3 tefachim under, but 4 amos above? Because like we said, heat rises. So you need much more space over the oven than you need below the oven in order to protect the floor. Ubikira tefach. And if it's a kira, you only need a base of 1 tefach below it to protect the floor, which is the ceiling of the apartment beneath you. Vim hizik. Now the Mishnah says, and what if you did all that and it damaged anyway? Mishali mashi hizik. Well, then you have to pay for the damage. That's the sheet of the Tanakama, that even though you did all the archakos that you were supposed to do, you prevented it from going anywhere, you still have to pay mashi hizik. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo amru kol ha-shiurin eilu, ela shim hizik pater mi l'shalim. Then no, the only reason we mention any of these shiurim of how far to distance things is to so that you won't have to pay. Meaning if you do these things, now you're not going to have to pay. The Rif writes that we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon, because in Bamatzia Dav Kof Yud Ches, we said that Rabbi Shimon holds like the shita of many Tanoim who pater a person from paying whenever he's Oseh B'Rishus. But we happen to not hold like that entire group of Tanoim. We don't hold that being Oseh B'Rishus exempts you from having to pay. But anyway, that's Rabbi Shimon's shita. Another din. You're not allowed to open a bakery nor a dye house next to your friend's storage facility where he keeps his grain, because those types of items will ruin the grain. Velo refes bakar, you're also not allowed to turn your house into a refes bakar under your friend's otzar, because the smell of the refes bakar is going to ruin his grain. Be'emes b'yayin yitiru, but we have a halacha psuka. Be'emes means we have a halacha psuka. The Gemara Maseches B'Matzia Daf Samach says kol be'emes amru halacha hi. That's always halacha, that which Rashi over there says means that ein legam game davar, you cannot question it, it just is. It's a halacha that there's no cholik on. So be'emes, we say halacha psuka, b'yayin etiru, that if it's an otzer of yayin, the chacham matter you to open a bakery or a dye house, because it's the smoke is not going to ruin the wine. Avalo refes bakar, but still not a refes bakar, because the smell of a refes bakar will ruin wine as well. So all three of these items will ruin grain and wine, only the refes bakar will ruin. So ask the Gemara, we said that you only need we have a brisa that says that betanur arba'o bekira shlosha, that by a tanur that's on the top floor you need 4 tefachim of a base, by a kira you need a 3 tefach base. That's against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said that for a larger tanur you need a 3 tefach base and for a kira you only need a 1 tefach base. So isn't this brisa against our Mishnah? Amar Abaye kitani hi b'dinach tomin, that the brisa is talking about a very large oven, an industrial oven. So an industrial oven needs a larger base in order to protect the area underneath it. And our tanur is like a nachtom's kira, and that's why both require only 3 tefachim. Now we said, you're not supposed to open up a store underneath your friend's otzar. So tanim haisa refes kodemes leotzar mutar. If the refes bakar was there before the otzar, so you don't have to move your business that you've had there the whole time just because someone decided that he's going to use the upstairs now as a storage facility. So baya baya kibid rebase leotzar maus. And Agmar asks a series of shaylas. What if the person cleaned out the top floor with the plan of turning it into an otzar, but he had not yet, and then you put a refes bakar there? Can you keep your refes bakar? Is that considered that you preceded him? Or what about riba b'chalonos mahu? What if you made changes to the structure of the building by putting more windows in, where his clear plan is to turn it into an otzar, but before he actually started storing anything there, you stuck your refes bakar downstairs? So is that considered that you beat him to it? Bana aliyah al gabe beso mahu. What if he built an extra aliyah over his house where it's clear that the plan was to use it as an otzar, and before he brought any grain in there, you stuck your refes bakar? So is that called that you beat him to it? So teku. So the Gemara says, we don't know. Tishbi yitaritz kushas v'yibayos. We don't have any answer to those shaylas. And what would be the din if the guy in the top floor put dates or pomegranates in his top floor, and he wants to then later replace it with grain? But before he puts grain there, the balabai sticks a store, you know, a dye house, a bakery, a refes bakar, so is he considered to have gotten there first? Take, we leave that question unresolved as well. Let's just get to the Mishnah. So be'emes b'yayin yitiru, so we said with wine, it's gonna actually be improved by having a dye house or a bakery downstairs. The smoke from that business will make the wine even better. Only a refes bakar is going to damage it. So tana b'yayin yitiru, m'nei shemashbicho, v'lo refes bakar, m'nei shemasricho. That the reason we're matter with wine is because the smoke will make it better, but not a refes bakar, because that's going to make the wine spoil. Amar of Yosef, haiti dan, it happens to be that our wine, the wine that we have in Bavel, afilu kutru deshagra nami kashalei, smoke is not good for our wine. Even the smoke that comes from a single candle would damage our wine. So this din, that you could open up a store under the otzer shel yayin, is not true with Babylonian wine. That's only true with Israeli wine, where apparently Israeli wine is improved by the smoke that's underneath it. Amar of Sheshes Vaspasta, Karefes Bakar Damya. That if you put the stubble of grain, that's like a refes bakar, and therefore, since it's very moist and it develops heat and it gets very smelly, you're not allowed to put that underneath an otzar of yayin either, whether it be Babylonian wine or whether it be Israeli wine. I apologize again for the last minute change of time today. Bezrem, tomorrow we'll be back to the regular time, the regular summertime, which will be 5:20, and we will pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Everyone have a wonderful evening.